You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Steppenwolf Theater's new production of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf opened at the Booth Theater recently, bristling with wit, blazing with energy, and shocking us again with its portrait of that most intimate and devastating of human institutions, marriage. The Booth is on West 45th Street, and the play's limited run has just been extended to February 24th, 2013. Tracy Letts and Amy Morton give intense performances as George and Martha, the academic couple whose penchant for fun and games drives this three-hour production. I'm very pleased it has brought them to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. And thank you for both being here. This play is both physically and emotionally grueling. Even for the audience, does it take a toll on you every night?
Yes, definitely. It's not an easy play to do, and I think that both of us are pretty exhausted by the end of the night.
Well, in the original production, there were two different casts. Because of that, Uta Hagen played Martha at night and Elaine Stritch in the afternoon. would you want something like that?
Geez, I don't know about that. In fact, my understanding of that original production is that they didn't originally set out to do that, but Uta Hagen and Arthur Hill eventually, after trying it for a while, went to the producers and said, we simply can't do this eight times a week. And so that's when they decided to get a separate matinee cast.
Well, after giving those performances eight times a week, I'm amazed that you'd be up for more than a long massage and some liquid protein.
Yeah, it's... So much of doing the show for us is about maintaining our diet and sleep. I mean, it's weird. It is almost like an athletic endeavor.
And what do you do between matinee and evening performances on Wednesdays?
Eat and then take a nap.
Yeah.
Tracy, is it true that this is your Broadway acting debut?
It is, yeah. I've been on Broadway with a couple of plays that I've written, and I've only appeared in one other show in New York, off-Broadway at the Barrow Street Theater. I did a production of Orson Shadow by Austin Pendleton. But, yeah, this is the first time on Broadway for me.
And you have had a Tony, but making it to Broadway, actors always say that's kind of like the ultimate step.
It's odd.
I mean,
right?
You're with Steppenwolf, which is pretty respectable in its own right.
I know, and so it is odd that it becomes a kind of... goal for actors. I remember when we were doing Superior Donuts, a play of mine, there were some younger actors in that show, and at some point I sort of good humor, hopefully in good humor, I chastised them about taking it for granted, and they said, what are you talking about? You got a Tony. I said, yeah, I know, but I'm, you know, in my 40s, I've never been on Broadway before. It's something to look forward to.
In the old movie musicals, everybody wanted to make it to the palace. It's the same sort of thing.
Right, exactly.
Amy, this play is almost as long as August Osage County, which Tracy wrote, and in which you starred in a role where, like Martha, you were on stage almost all the time. After that experience, you were quoted as saying, in my next role, I'd like to sit in a chair, say something pithy, and then walk off the stage.
I still
something
believe that.
Went wrong with
still,
that plan.
I'm still, if somebody would just give me the offer, I wouldn't have to do this stuff. absolutely. Seriously, the one after this one.
But Martha is one of the great roles, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a role I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd do. So, the curtain call on opening night was incredibly moving because we're standing there and people are cheering and people are bringing flowers and then Edward walks on stage and I stopped myself and just said, remember this, you know, it's the 50th anniversary and I can't believe I'm standing here. So I'm incredibly grateful for this. It's enormous for me.
What actresses want to play someone who's so dark?
I think every actress wants to play this person. I don't consider her dark. I actually don't consider her dark at all. I consider her really fun.
She's
the life of the party.
Fun.
Yeah. Tonight is, you know, this particular evening doesn't go her way. But I don't think that she's a necessarily dark person. I think she's absolutely full of life. Just is addicted and is sort of disappointed with herself.
I was thinking about last night's debate when I was thinking about the way you're playing George Tracy. He's more actively a provocateur, less passive than in many of the previous productions. Did you consciously change the balance of the play?
No, not consciously. There's been a lot of talk about how there's a kind of, reimagining of the play. We never sat down and said, okay, let's find a different way to do this. We treated it like a new play. We treated it like we treat all plays that come to Steppenwolf. We sat down the first day of rehearsal and opened the script to page one and started with the first few lines, and you start trying to figure out, what am I doing here and what do I want and what am I willing to do to get it, and then some of those rather boring discussions about background and timeline and history and all that kind of stuff, and eventually sort of fill in the blanks from there. To then hear in the critical response, no, we're doing something very different with the play, is actually kind of surprising to me. I don't think we were ever conscious of that while we were doing it.
No.
Well, in many other productions, George and Martha come off as monsters. In this version, that's less true. You come off as a recognizable married couple. So that was obviously something that you were striving to do. But do you think it's partly because you've played married couples in so many other productions that you almost can slip into that role?
I think so. Tracy and I sort of have a shorthand, and we're very used to how the other person works, and we have a lot of fun working together. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Eight other plays, you were a married couple?
We've counted it up. I can't remember. I think it's something seven or eight, something like that. A lot of times, yeah.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. I also think... I don't know why this play has a reputation for... it's sort of burnished in people's heads, whether it be true in previous performances or not. But for some reason, people like to remember it as Martha is this very loud sort of harridan and George is meek. And I don't think we ever saw the play that way. And we did this play in Atlanta. I wasn't Martha. I directed it, but Tracy played George. And I realized then, directing it, as much as you hate to say whose play is it, if you have to say, it's much more George's play. You know, he's on stage a lot more.
And that's what Edward Albee says.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're honoring that and agreeing with that as artists,
Well, you've directed it, and Tracy, you've directed plays and written them as well. Do you think that directing gives you an insight into characters when you are acting them?
Well, I think it gives us an insight. It gives us an insight into the play. You're able to sort of step back from the play in a sense and say, what is the story we're trying to tell here and who are these people? You know, some of this clearly, the elephant in the room to some extent is the movie, because the movie has informed so much of people's opinions about Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It's the memory they carry with them. The movie is quite beautiful in its own right, but it's not the play. It never was the play, and it never will be the play. And for two people who are working on the play, trying to figure out this couple who live in this small New England college town, and you're trying to figure out who these people are, those black and white moving pictures of movie royalty screaming at each other with English accents don't help you a lot. They don't help you a lot figure out who George and Martha are. So you do have to sort of step back and say, who are these people really? I mean, where anybody got the idea that Martha was Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall, I have no idea. She's the daughter of a New England college president.
She's not Elizabeth Taylor either, and
right.
And George isn't Richard Burton.
Right.
But so how do you begin when you think about the phases of a marriage on stage? You begin with George and Emily in our town. I was thinking, if that's the case, after this, what's left? The gin game?
I think we're too old for the gin game.
Yeah. Or by the end of this run, we absolutely will be. Who knows what's next?
Yeah, I don't know. You talked about a role that actresses want to play in Martha. Somebody asked me the other day if there's a sort of dream role. I said, well, I think I'm playing it. I don't think I have anything beyond this that I have to do.
Is this a play that you were very familiar with before you took the part?
Very, yeah.
So it's something you might have wanted to have done in the past?
For a long, long time. My father was an English professor, and he taught this play. I always remember a dog-eared copy of the paperback sitting around my house when I was a kid. When I first got into acting at 15, 16, one of those plays. It is one of the plays that as a young person interested in the theater, you read over and over and over again.
But then you have to wait until you're old enough to play it.
That's right.
My guests are Tracy Letts and Amy Morton, who are George and Martha. It's wonderful names for characters. Immediately bring up all sorts of American imagery. And they are, if you've ever spent any time in academia, a couple you might recognize from that as well. They are the older couple in Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which is at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street. So you performed it originally in Chicago?
Well, I originally did it in Atlanta in a production that Amy directed. Then several years went by before we did our production in Chicago.
Well, the one in Atlanta was with a different actress.
Yes.
So does that affect your performance?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, it's a very different production and it's a different marriage, and therefore it's a very different production.
And then you did this with Amy in Chicago. How long did that run?
8 weeks,
yeah,
something
eight,
like that.
Weeks.
You know, the usual Steppenwolf run. And then we did it in D.C. for about that same amount of time.
So are you still finding new moments in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We had a chunk of time off when we closed in D.C., which, you know, we were worried about, you know, so we would get together every couple of months and do line through so we wouldn't forget the lines. But it turned out, in my opinion, that chunk of time off did us a world of good because we came back very fresh to it and finding much different layers in it.
A lot of new stuff, yeah.
Because there's a kind of a momentum when you're doing it every night and matinees as well?
Yeah, particularly with work that is this this dense. You know, there's a lot on the page. There's a lot to figure out.
Well, one of the remarkable things about this production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is how fresh and spontaneous it feels after all these years. One reviewer noted that although it was originally performed in 1962, it feels as though it could have been written within the past 5 years. There are only a few things that I think make it dated. One of them is all the drinking of hard liquor. Today, it probably would more likely be wine.
Right. No, and I don't know. Edward has always felt that the play needed to, some of his other plays, like A Delicate Balance, he's willing to do sort of modern versions of, contemporary versions of those plays. But this play, he's always felt needs to sit in 1962. Probably as much because of Martha's lack of opportunity.
Because she would have a job today.
Right.
Absolutely.
But one of the other changes is that in the original production, he was asked to take out some of the expletives. Haven't they been added back?
I think a few of the five-letter words got turned into four-letter words.
Do you think that Martha's frustration because she doesn't have a job of her own is one of the reasons she is forced to live her life through her father and her husband?
Absolutely. I think so, yeah. I can remember my own mother and her frustration as well. So it makes perfect sense to me.
Well, it also takes place in the 60s, and that's important because that's a time of change when Americans are starting to rethink what the nuclear family is, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that they drink more than people would drink today?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we're still a country that drinks a lot.
Well, in this case, of course, the drinking lubricates the tongue, and it allows for all sorts of things to be said that wouldn't have been said otherwise.
Exactly.
And when Edward Albee is writing the lines, that must be another pleasure because they're often just so witty.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the sense of humor is, well, it's one of the real secrets of the success of this play. And people forget, again, perhaps bringing memories of the movie or something, which is very scary movie, too. They forget that this plays very funny. The first act of this thing plays just like an outright comedy, and the laughs are long and sustained.
It's great.
But it's a three-act play.
It is.
Which is rare today.
Mm-hmm.
Or what people usually do today is they take three-act plays and somehow find a place in the middle to divide them into two acts. That hasn't been done here.
I don't think he'd ever allow that. I really don't think he'd allow that.
Well, we have to take a little break. We'll find out why for years he didn't even want to allow Steppenwolf to do a production of it. My guests are Amy Morton and Tracy Letts, the two of the stars of the Steppenwolf Theater's new production of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which is at the Booth Theater and has just been extended until February 24th. We'll continue this conversation after this.
Thanks.
We are back with Amy Morton and Tracy Letts, two of the stars of a new production of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, along with Madison Dirks and Carrie Coon. The play begins in the living room of a house on the campus of a small New England college at 2 a.m., and continues with a couple that obviously knows each other so well that they can really hurt each other. This could not happen with newlyweds.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
They don't have enough ammunition yet.
Amy, you said that when you were in August, Osage County, theatergoers stood by the stage door and asked you for a hug. What kind of interaction do you have with them after this play?
Some people keep their distance.
Are they afraid of you?
Sure. But mostly people are, they're very happy to be there and are really sweet and lovely.
Yeah. Well, I started doing a matinee, and when I came out of the theater, I was surprised that it was daylight, although maybe it was the next morning. Can you feel that the audience is with you all the way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's one of the remarkable things about the play that you begin that thing at 2 o'clock and then it proceeds in real time, and so you do feel that you... Even the intermissions are real time, right? When we come back from the intermission, 10 minutes have passed.
And that was written into the play?
It is. It is very much part of Edward's conceit of the play. So when the thing ends, it's, 5:10 in the morning for us on stage. And you do feel that the audience has come along through that night with us. That's a great feeling.
The play was considered rather shocking when it was first produced. Do you think it's still shocking?
I don't think it's shocking, possibly in the way that it was perceived in 62 because of the language, possibly. But I think people are still really sort of blown away by how people treat each other.
But do you think that married couples can identify with this kind of marital warfare?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They may, you may not act it out, but there are times probably in a long marriage where you think it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's, again, it's part of the universal appeal of the thing, the love and the hate that's contained in that long relationship. I think everybody can identify with that.
I was reading about the first production. Many people said that Albee had been a rebel and a renegade, and this brought him to Broadway. Does Broadway still struggle to support this kind of serious play? Because there was a time when Edward actually left New York and started doing regional theater because he felt that that Broadway just only wanted musicals. We've seen a return of serious theater in recent years. Do you have any sense of why?
I'm not so well educated about New York theater that I could opine about the state of Broadway and what's good and what works and what doesn't.
You've written some big hits and they were relatively serious.
I have, And which is great. I think it's also to Edward's credit that he didn't continue to write in an attempt to please that Broadway audience, that Edward was writing stuff that was a bit further out there, and so he was willing to give up the Broadway audience and go out and make sure that his work was being seen. Because in some ways, that's what's most important to the playwright, getting the work that you've created done. As soon as you start writing for that venue, you're probably dead in the water.
Well, is Chicago very different? There are smaller theaters there. The economies are quite different. But Steppenwolf has been an institution for a long time, putting on mostly serious theater.
Mm-hmm. Chicago has less pressure. you rarely get rich or famous in Chicago, so it really those pressures aren't there.
You can become president of the United States.
Yes,
you can. but you know, for the most part, Chicago just kind of goes on its way. And then gets attention when something like August Osage County or some of the work that David Cromer's done and, you know, a lot of other things. But
I feel now that David Cromer's really a New York director.
He is now. But anyway, so I guess what I'm saying is there's more room to fail. So there's more room to take risks. I mean, a failure isn't going to ruin your career. It isn't going to keep you not working for a couple of years.
But is that still that sense of the Second City?
Oh, sure. I mean, we're never going to get rid of that.
Absolutely.
Both the insecurity and the chip on our shoulder about that is absolutely just part of the makeup of the cultural life of the city.
Is part of the problem the price of tickets? Because it costs a lot of money to mount a Broadway show.
Oh, it may all be about the economy. It may all be about, it's hard to take risks in New York given the amount of money that it costs to produce a play here. You can produce a show in Chicago for a lot less, and yeah, you charge a lot less for the tickets. It's just a very different economic equation.
I read that Edward Albee had been reluctant to give Steppenwolf the rights to do any of his plays. Is there a story behind that reluctance?
You know, I kind of went in search of that story. I was convinced that there had been some slight. Turns out there probably wasn't. I'll get Pam in trouble here because Pam McKinnon, our director, is the one who finally gave me a sort of plausible answer to that question about why Edward had never allowed us to do his plays in 30-plus years. And it had something to do with the reputation Steppenwolf had gotten, the national and international reputation Steppenwolf had gotten for doing rock and roll, in-your-face theater. And Edward just sort of felt like, not with my plays, you don't. He perhaps feared that license was going to be taken with his plays, given our quote-unquote style, Chicago style of theater.
Do you think that was a bum rap?
I think it was a bum rap, and I think Edward perhaps realized it was a bum rap after he saw August Osage County and realized, oh, no, we're actually serious about what we're doing. We're not just hitting toasters with golf clubs.
A listener called in, excuse me, to inquire about how involved Albee was in mounting this production. He's very particular about how his shows are done, isn't he?
Very particular, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he has casting control over every production everywhere.
So did he attend rehearsals? He's even directed a number of his plays.
He attended about our third week of rehearsal in Chicago. He attended rehearsals for a couple of days, and we had great conversations about the plays and about the play and about the characters. And then he finally got to see it in D.C. So, yes, he was around.
But he conducted himself the way a playwright does. And all of his notes and suggestions went through Pam, went through the director primarily. So he didn't, I don't know, he observed the hierarchy of the rehearsal room.
Well, he had met you before. He presented you with a playwriting award at one point.
That's right. Yeah, the New York Critics Circle, I never remember what the thing is called, when they gave me the award for August, I was quite surprised to see that Edward was the fellow presenting me with the award. It was the first time I met him, and he was very gracious.
Well, he has the same kind of wit that he writes. Some people write differently than they talk, but you understand where all those funny lines come from.
Yeah, yeah,
have
he's a
conversation
funny,
with Edward Albee. Is he okay now? Because he had been ill for a while.
He's doing okay.
Now, as I understand it, Tracy, you began as an amateur actor. Well, did everybody who acts begin as an amateur?
I mean, I think we all began as amateur actors.
But you start acting in amateur plays, and as I understand it, one production wanted your father, but offered you a role in hopes that maybe that would entice your father to participate?
That's right, at a community theater in Tishomingo, Oklahoma. I think that was really the first play I did when I was 15 or so. Yeah.
Was your father a really good actor?
He was a very good actor. He was in August Osage County on Broadway, in fact. Made his Broadway debut in that show. And he was a terrific actor. He did a lot of plays locally, and then there was quite a film community in Dallas in the 80s. My dad worked on film, probably 40 movies and TV shows in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you both have directed. And I always wonder about changing hats. In the case of Albee, he has directed some of his plays, and there is a big debate over whether the playwright should direct his own plays. He's also had other people direct them.
Mm-hmm.
Being a director give you some kind of insight into how you approach a part, or are you able to separate all the, in your case, Tracy, writing plays as well, separate all those different aspects of your career?
I think they certainly inform each other. I think directing makes me a better actor, and acting makes me a better director. But when I'm acting, I don't even have a little directing hat on, because you have a big job to do, particularly a play like this. It's a very large learning curve, and it's very difficult to do. So I'm really happy that I'm not directing when I'm acting. In both jobs, your hands are full. So to be meddling in on the other side would be really silly and counterproductive. But I do... I'm very grateful that I get the chance to practice both. And I do think they help each other. I do think it's a great, if you're lucky to be able to do it, it's pretty great.
Well, Tracy, for a while you weren't acting. Did it feel different when you returned to the stage?
Yeah, because acting, well, it's something I've done my whole life, but it is... Well, I tell you, it requires some muscles, and if you don't do it for a while, you can lose some of those muscles. I was away from it for a couple of years while August Osage County and Superior Donuts were going on. So yeah, to get back into it, it takes a while to get up to speed. But you know, it's one of the reasons I'm very lucky to be a part of Steppenwolf Theater, that I get a chance to do great plays, great roles, and great plays, and work with great people.
Is it fair to say that you both come across as self-effacing Midwesterners, not the stereotypical actors? Is that? I can't believe that's just Chicago, because I've met some people from Chicago who seem to have rather big egos.
Have you? Because sometimes I think
only actors.
Sometimes I think it is a Midwestern thing. Sometimes I think we make for really bad interviews because we don't sort of strut around and it's just not our way.
There's also in Chicago, too, sometimes to the extreme of you watch getting too big for your britches. You get a lot of attitude thrown your way if you do that, but. I think that for the most part, actors may have large egos, but they're very self-effacing, and I don't think that's just the Midwest. You know, actors are insecure people, and acting is a form of making you feel better about yourself, unless you're doing a terrible job.
Well, you also can be somebody else, somebody you're not.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And this play, you know, this play is difficult. The bar is high on this thing. So it humbles you. It doesn't pay to get... It doesn't pay to get too full of yourself doing this thing, because it will humble you night to night.
Do you think that it also holds the risk of physical violence? Is that why the gun gets such a big reaction?
Yeah, I think so.
There's tension. There is tension from the moment we step on stage.
Right.
It's really funny, but I'm sure the audience is sensing that, you know, that they're in for a ride. So I think that the potential for violence is always there.
Now, Tracy, I understand that August Osage County is being made into a movie starring Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep.
Right.
Have you been involved in the production?
I wrote the screenplay. I went to Oklahoma, where they're shooting, for a day off of rehearsal for Virginia Woolf. I went down for the table read, where the actors gather on the first day to sit around and read the script. And they got a chance to ask me some questions, and I got a chance to meet everybody. They showed me the house where they're shooting and a couple of the locations. It was great.
But I also wonder, Amy, because this is something that we've seen throughout the history of theater and movies, what it's like to have created a character and done it so effectively. And then, not that Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep are chopped liver,
there are
but still.
Slouches, yeah. You know, actors are so used to that. I mean, it never even occurred to me that if this was made into a film that I would get to play. It didn't surprise me at all. And at this point, I'm too old for the role. So, you know, it's fine. It's all good.
They're so different. They're such different. Oh, man. Just like we were talking about with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Nobody was going to let 35-year-old Elizabeth Taylor do that thing on the stage. It would have been silly to see her try. Even back in 1965, they weren't going to let Uta Hagen make the movie, or Elaine Stritch. It's just because they're such different worlds. And the experience of them is so different, too. The experience of watching Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf on your TV when you're a kid and watching it in a theater filled with an audience is a very, very different experience. I know that from a couple of my own plays that I've written that have been turned into films. And it will be the same with August. It won't be anything like the experience of seeing that play in the theater.
Killer Joe and Bug.
Yeah, yeah.
They turned out to be something totally different. Was it hard to let them go?
No, because I accept that difference. I accept the distinction that the movies, the experience of watching those things on film is going to be very different. But, you know, I think in my own way that movies are actually, they're in some ways even more ephemeral than plays. The plays actually are the things that last forever, and the movies are the things that sort of get frozen in time.
Well, you keep on mentioning the movie partly because I'm sure both of you saw the film. Have you seen other productions? Did you see the Kathleen Turner, Bill Irwin version?
No, the only other production I've seen was a production at Court Theater in Chicago about 7-8 years ago.
I've never seen it done on stage, actually.
Well, one of the wonderful things about good plays, whether it's this or Streetcar or whatever, is that every time you see them, it's a revelation.
Yeah.
Because if they're cast well, they're so rich. Shakespeare, of course, is the ultimate example. They're so rich that they always give you something new. And that must make it wonderful for the actor as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very hard to do many shows a week of and months on end of a play that isn't this good. You know,
that experience, I
sure,
suspect.
Sure, we get a full meal every time we do it. So there's a lot to work with.
Are you going to be sorry when it's over in February?
I my body won't be.
you still want that show where you sit in a rocking chair and
say a word or two.
Check back with me in February.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you both so much for being with us. Amy Morton plays Martha. Tracy Letts plays George, Madison Dirks is Nick, and Carrie Coon is Honey in a new, well, a Steppenwolf theater version of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, now at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street. It's been a real pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.